Chapter 14. The Last Legacy of Vulcan. Kernan heard it in the deeps, a low churning of earth, a dulled echo of metal striking metal, mechanisms sliding into place and the awakening of the machine. The door. Vulcan's armory, at last laid open for them to pillage. Ahead of him, the corridor was burning and the flames were kicking out heat intense enough to melt plastic and warp metal. The battle servitors suffered greatly. Their dead, jellied flesh curled and then blackened before finally sloughing away. Some collapsed amidst the firestorm. Others, those possessing a modicum of remembered self-preservation, did pause. Kernan crouched behind one of the dull-eyed servitors, using it as a meat shield as he cycled through the vision filters of his retinal lenses. Thick, oily smoke was spilling off the blaze in a pall, but Kernan found his enemies through the miasma and bellowed orders at his warriors to return fire. The salamanders had fallen back in good order, but they had to know their plight was a hopeless one.
Always outnumbered, thought Kernan, destined to die.
One firestorm met another, and then a third, as both sides exchanged fusillades of hard shells and lasbolts.
Fire! He grumbled to Solomus, who fell in beside him. Why is it always fire with these legionaries?
The servitor meat shields jerked and thrashed as the bolter shells hit them.
Weren't they born in it, or some such myth?
They'll die in it this day, chimed Creed.
One-handed, he could only wield a bolt pistol, and as he stretched out his arm to shoot, a round clipped him and blew apart his chin and most of the left side of his face. In agony, clutching at his ruined face with his one good hand, Creed crashed forwards into the fire, and the upper half of his body ignited. Kernan looked on aggrieved, but Solomus merely shrugged.
Never have I met an unluckier soul than Creed. But I echo his sentiment, he said.
The other two sons of Horus legionaries, Minatus and Godak, went to drag the body out of the flames, but Kernan waved them back.
He's dead, stay down.
The fires were dying out. The servitors had absorbed much of their wrath, and it had told on their numbers. They advanced now, those that still burned and those that followed in their wake, implacable and relentless. In their shadow, Solomus began to rise.
Let's just kill these sons of the Drake!
The rest of the sons were coming. Kernan had heard them over the vox. He and Solomus were but the vanguard. Kernan followed him into the storm, into the fury. So did Minatus and Godak. Harkus, who had fought in the battle above, was not far behind, with Ezria and Uziel, and with them came reinforcements of a different caliber to Mechanicum drones. Plunging into smoke, Kernan felt his hatred rise anew. For the servitors and their slack-jawed obeisance, for the adept and his arrogance, for Solomus's impudence, and the salamander's legionary's refusal to just die. A barbed thing had grown within him ever since Istvan III, violently flourishing with every betrayal and act of dishonor that came afterwards. But the deepest barb he reserved for an especial hatred. The deepest he left for himself. The doors to the rort ground open with a sound like tortured metal, and for a moment the salamander's legionary stared, beholding a gateway to a mythical ark, to which, after much struggle, they had finally gained admittance. Darkness beckoned, and the flickering glow of auto-sconces. Xandu had reached the infiltration squad by now, Var too, though the number of Salamander's legionaries in their force was painfully low. They came past Zen's sentries, battered and war-weary, stopping at the threshold of Vulcan's legendary armory.
"I smell cinder and ash," murmured Obek,
and fought the urge to bow his head.
"We have no time for observance," said Tekel.
His voice sounded strained, causing Obek to look over to him, but the Tech Marine waved off his concern.
"We have this chance now. Only this. Into the rot!"
Obek led them in, his borrowed bolt pistol held out before him. He went fast, his strength returning, Laz and Shellfire chasing him into the shadows, with Xandu and the others closing protectively around their wounded captain. Zen and the rest still held the corridor as the renegades came through the conflagration laid down by Var. Having joined up with Xandu, Raos now took up position with the infiltration squad, and together they maintained a suppressing fire. Tekel lingered by the door and shouted to the vexillary now.
Zen! Flamesmote! We fall back now!
To never know glory, said Zen, shouting above the roar of the bolters. To be denied vengeance!
Dying here in this place is not glorious,
Tekel faltered, clutching his forehead. But Zen was preoccupied with the firefight and barely noticed.
Nor will it bring us vengeance.
Zen kept up his rate of fire, but what came back in return outweighed it more than tenfold. Fokan was hit, a solid impact in the chest that his armor bore the brunt of. Then Gyron, spitting a cry of pain as his knee was blown apart.
Can you close it?
Zen yelled, covering Raos as he went to grab Gyron and drag him back against the wall.
Now who's the Vengu?
He heard Raos mutter to the veteran, earning a grunted invective in reply.
I can, said Tekel. This door between them and us, no way in. The armory at our disposal. We can prevail, brother.
Zen relented and gave the order for the squad to fall back. Once they were through the door, Tekel engaged the mechanism, this time to close the vault behind them. It did so quickly, the inviolable slab of Primarch-wrought metal coming down like the lid to a tomb as the last futile shots from farther down the corridor slipped through but missed their targets, and as the door struck the ground it echoed with a resounding clang.
We are here, then. At last.
Tekel's voice echoed off glinting obsidian as he addressed the last of the unscarred. Hunched silhouettes of deep drakes regarded them from the shadows as if in silent appraisal. It was a mere entrance chamber, though vast in and of itself. Several others fed off from it into the seemingly infinite shadows.
The rot,
he said, the others turning to face him.
The last legacy of Vulcan.
Kernan reached the door long after it had already closed. Tentatively, his gauntleted fingers quested around the Drake sigil, and the mechanism, he understood, was located somewhere in its mouth. He considered trying it when he remembered what had happened to Creed and slowly drew away his hand. His gorge rose as he sensed the presence of Rako Solomus nearby.
Master Regulus is dead.
So matter-of-fact, so dismissive. Kernan had to resist the urge to kill him almost every time they exchanged words.
And his beast?
It was a Castellax, an advanced war machine.
Solomus laughed.
We are advanced, brother.
He rolled over a shredded piece of robot carapace.
Not this thing. Not them.
Kernan glanced over Solomus's shoulder at the battle servitors, standing in ragged ranks, awaiting instruction. They stared ahead with dead eyes, only moving when Harkus and the others shouldered past them.
How do we breach it?
Asked the legionary tersely. Harkus looked battle-ready, with his chainsword still bared and his armour flecked with blood. Some said his zealousness in killing the internecine traitors at Istvan III had bordered on the obscene. But far from a kindred spirit, Kernan saw only a maniac before him. Some of the 16th had never truly left Chthonia, and so it was said of Harkus.
Charges, incendiaries, everything we've got, Kernan told him. Muster the labor servitors down here too, those with drills and cutters. No door is unbreakable, not even one fashioned by a Primarch.
Harkus gave a curt, dissatisfied grunt, but went about his orders.
Well, the emissary reckoned this metal could not be pierced by charges, said Minatus.
He and Godak, joining the two legionaries at the door.
I heard him say even melters would not cut it. It's why we had to keep that Drake and not kill him, added Godak.
We still have his arm,
offered Solomus, gesturing to the salamander's legionary's severed limb on the ground. Kernan removed his helm so he could wipe some of the sweat from his scalp, using the opportunity to eye Solomus sternly.
I can never tell if you're serious, sarcastic, or just psychotic.
Solomus had taken off his helm, too, the rad scrubbed air making it possible to do so without risk, and made a facial shrug.
Me neither,
he said. Kernan scowled and tried not to think about how much he wanted to bury his combat knife in Solomus's grinning face. The limb is useless. We won't unlock it from this side. We have to use force.
That,
uttered one of the servitors in a mechanized monotone, causing the legionaries to turn with weapons drawn.
Is unnecessary and extremely unwise.
And it turned its dead eyes on Kernan.